Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think when a celebrity gets married and the pictures end up on People magazine in an exclusive, like, do they pay for that? Do you think, like, People pays for it? The reason I ask is that the Star Tribune right now has a story up about a woman I know. I think she's fantastic. The former bachelorette, Michelle Young. And Michelle Young co-emceed the Children's Hospital Winefest Gala with me. What a thrill for her, I'm sure. Sharing a stage with me.
Probably a bigger highlight than the wedding.
I don't know why, though. Why didn't those pictures get sent to People magazine? I don't know. So she gets married, fine, like, great, good. We're happy, right? Like, I love love. You're pro-love. We're all pro-love. But, like, bachelorette alum, is that, like, worthy of a People magazine exclusive? Like, did she didn't win. She didn't marry a guy from The Bachelor. She married a guy from Minnesota. She was the runner-up on, she was The Bachelorette. Well, all right. So maybe is that why it's a thing? Because she was The Bachelorette. Could you guys tell me if this is a thing? Like, I get a little confused by it because I know this woman. And I just think, like, she's a nice lady. She's very talented. She's quite beautiful. I don't know. She married this, another nice dude. He was like a gopher. But it's sort of hilarious. Like, Chad gives me a hard time about all of my sponsorship. But this story in People magazine is like, it name checks like every single, dressed in a tuxedo from Suit Shop, Jack Layas had made his way down the aisle to Lovers and Friends by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. Like, I don't know. The couple then exchanged rings from Wedding Day Diamonds. It's just so weird. I don't know. Good for them. What the heck, right? But then some poor intern for the Star Tribune, this guy Lincoln Roch, you're like, I don't know. When I was a kid and I was interning at ABC News, you're like, oh, man, like I've made it. I'm interning at the big media organization and Lincoln interning at the Star Tribune. Like, I don't know if this is Lincoln's first story that he wrote for the Star Tribune. Oh, no, this is his third. But you're like, hey, Lincoln, go write this story about two people who got their wedding sponsored. And it's in People magazine. I don't know. This is so strange. Let's do the D-Rush Hour news headlines. Featuring far
now,
more
time
important
to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the D-Rush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And I want to start with that news story that you just heard a little bit of from Mark Fry, talking about the University of Minnesota Regents who had their houses vandalized. Now, I understand that I am not always going to be in touch with the issues that get activists fired up. But this story about the university selling a piece of land and protesters being mad about it because the land is being sold to a company that is probably going to use it for some sort of military purpose feels like it's out of, like, the 1960s. This land is the ruins of an ammunition plant. And so we're mad that, like, it's just supposed to sit there. 60 acres. Being sold for $8 million in a deal that the Regents approved more than a month ago, but apparently people just paid attention to it. And protesters, in fact, went so far, at least that's the allegation, that it was a protester, and who the heck else would do this. But protesters went so far as to vandalize the homes of four University of Minnesota regents. Just outrageous. One of the regents told his story to Vanita Sakkar this morning.
It is. It's very troubling. You know, I have a friend who serves on the University of Michigan Board of Regents who's had damage and vandalism to not only his home, but his office as well. And so it can extend to that. And that's what we're seeing across the country. I believe in dialogue and discourse being very important and cornerstone, you know, to good public policy making. There should be dialogue and discourse around what's going on with our state's land grant R1 University, and as a governing board member, I believe in engaging in that. You know, my cell phone number, my personal cell phone number, and my university email address have been on our board webpage since I was elected in March of 2021. So I really welcome engagement and welcome the chance to talk to folks that have concerns, questions, feedback, suggestions around issues that come in front of our board. But I think we should lean into dialogue and constructive dialogue, even when it's uncomfortable and even when we may disagree. But this kind of way of expressing feelings on matters is just really disappointing and discourages folks from serving in these roles that I think are really important. You know, right now we're in the middle of a region election. And when people see stuff like this, maybe they're going to be rethinking about wanting to take on that service, which I think we need more people willing to engage in this type of service. So it just does has so many negative impacts across the board, and it's just really discouraging.
That's James Farnsworth, the U of M regent, one of the victims of the vandalism, on with Vanita this morning. Just outrageous. Whatever your cause is, we need to be very, very definitive about saying we are not going to allow protesters to come to the home of elected officials. We're not going to allow this sort of vandalism. It's, you know, you may disagree with something that a university is doing, but to target the regents is just outrageous. Next up on the lead, something that Blois Olson wrote about in the Daily Agenda in his morning take. And you can subscribe at thedailyagenda.com. But Blois wrote about a little Minnesota on Minnesota violence. What was going on yesterday on Capitol Hill with Republicans from Minnesota lining up to attack the Democratic governor? Blois writes this. Representatives Tom Emmer, Michelle Fischbach, and Pete Stauber missed their opportunity to truly press Walz on his rhetoric and record. While Walz had a dull performance, it was more civil than the anger of the three Minnesota GOPers that questioned him. The real issue is that Minnesotans don't trust anyone. And why would they? That this is part of politics today. There used to be a bit of a tradition where we felt like Minnesotans were different than politicians all around the country, that Minnesotans, you know, we had respect for each other, even political party that we disagree with. You still respected the service, respected the office. Yesterday, what we saw was a reality that I do think Minnesotans have to get their arms around. We're not better than anybody. Our politicians are as politician-ish as anywhere else. Governor Walz is as guilty as anybody else in this, but we're not special. And I'm sad about that. I'm sad about that. I do think that should disaster come, our politicians, regardless of their party, will work together. But I don't know, man. Like, that used to be a given where we wouldn't have to worry about it. Today, I'm not so sure. Everybody's looking for that gotcha moment. And I think yesterday, for Minnesota politics, I think yesterday was one of the low points. I do. It was embarrassing and not the way that I want political leaders to act. All right, one more story in the lead before we get to page two. And this is a Supreme Court decision in an Osseo Schools case that has ramifications all around the country. Dr. Peter Larson is with us to break down what this means, because the Supreme Court took on a case, a local case from a family that was trying to sue the school district. But sort of the complicated behind the scenes of this could end up being a very major deal for a lot of school districts all around the country. Peter.
You're right that it's rare to see this level of unanimity with this current court. I would say it's a simple, straightforward decision, but it's a meaningful and a very impactful decision.
Obviously, school districts around our area and around the country now should brace for a number of lawsuits, I would think. This opens the door for really an incredible amount of litigation against schools for not accommodating various disabilities, right?
Yes, in some ways, yes, that's true. What this decision did today was clarified the legal standard by which students could bring litigation. A number of circuits or geographical regions had adopted a higher standard. And what the court did with this decision was they said, no, actually, there is no higher requirement for these educational cases. It's the same standard that we use with other challenges under the Americans with Disabilities Act or Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act.
This specific case involved a young child who had seizures that tended to happen in the morning. So the family wanted an accommodation of a school day that would be like noon to 6 p.m., which, as someone who doesn't have a child with a disability, you do look at this and think like, holy moly, the fact that you can kind of create your own academic environment is pretty remarkable. And also, it appears to be the law that you can get those kind of accommodations. When you look at the big picture of this, what's your takeaway as to what this will mean going forward?
That's a great question. Congress passed the Individuals with Disabilities and Education Act, which guaranteed that all students are entitled to a free and appropriate public education. And within that, we've seen that a number of accommodations are allowed. The idea with this was that we would be integrating individuals with disabilities into the schools, into these mainline classrooms. And Congress promised initially that they were going to cover up to 40% of this cost of per student accommodation. In reality, that number has never gotten above 15 or 16% and oftentimes has been lower. So when you look at the reasonability of these accommodations, yes, you know, it can seem unreasonable, and it may seem even more unreasonable to those school districts who have to shoulder that cost. However, if you're looking at this from the viewpoint of the individuals with those disabilities, certainly it's going to be a large benefit for them, and it's a benefit for the children within those schools who are able to have a wide exposure of different individuals in the classrooms.
Yeah. From a legal standpoint, whether this is difficult to pay for or whether it's difficult for the schools isn't really the issue. Congress passed a law. The Supreme Court upheld what that law was. That's pretty much the bottom line, right?
I think that's exactly right. That's the bottom line.
Very interesting. Peter Larson, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
That is the D-Rush Hour News Headlines. Lead page two is coming your way in just a minute. So much to talk about in page two, including the Rapidan Dam. Remember that bursting? One store, one home had to shut down. It's relocated. What do Americans think about the protests in California? And interesting conversation with Cheryl Reeve about how you coach Hall of Famers. That's coming up.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
D Rush Hour News Headlines continuing with page two. And we begin with a question that I was wondering about after the Rapidan Dam burst. Remember when that dam burst and we were like, well, there's not that much around there. But there was one house and one restaurant and store that got wiped out.
It's our legacy. We want to keep it going, and we're proud of our parents.
For Jenny Barnes and her brother David Hershka, the past year has brought about many changes. In May, the Dam Store restaurant their family has run for more than 50 years officially reopened in downtown Mankato.
That's Channel 4's John Lauritsen. Jenny Barnes and her brother, David Hershka, relocated. So that restaurant that they ran for more than 50 years is now in downtown Mankato, which is, you know, I mean, that's it's not exactly right near there. But 6 days a week, they're open, getting it done, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Pretty cool stuff. It's nice to see them giving it a go again. But if you're down in Mankato, go give them a little support. They've been through it. Best Dam Store is what they call it. But the Dam Store Cafe now on South Front Street in Mankato. Bring cash. Something charming about a cash-only cafe as well, except if you don't have cash. What do Americans think about the protests in Los Angeles?
Justice! Now! Justice! Now!
Washington Post and George Mason University texted more than 1,000 Americans, including more than 200 Californians, to ask. And what I found interesting is that, man, we're so divided. You look at the same stuff and you're like, 41% support Donald Trump sending the National Guards and the Marines to respond. 44% don't. 39% support the protests in L.A. 40% oppose. 35% think the protesters have been mostly peaceful. 37% mostly violent. The real divide is with people who are paying attention and who are not paying attention, because there's a big difference depending on how much you're watching. The truth is Democrats are watching more. Well, they're watching the protest coverage more, and Republicans are watching the military coverage. We really are two different countries, aren't we? Banking appears to be the future of the IDS in downtown Minneapolis. Yeah. Money. Allison Kaplan, the editor of TCB Magazine, writing about the expansion of Associated Bank's headquarters and move to IDS. So if you look at IDS, there was a time where it was two stories of retail. And now there are six financial institutions in that building. It is, the Crystal Court is so cool. I do love that space in downtown Minneapolis. But Nordstrom Rack, gone. Gap Store, gone. Banana Republic, Love from Minnesota, Rocco Altobelli Salon, Hubert White, all of it gone. The leasing agent says they're optimistic because finally people are talking about retail deals down there. But it's all banks. Associated Bank, U.S. Bank, Bank of America, Huntington Bank, Wells Fargo, Fargo and Bremer, which will soon be Old National. Finally, how do you coach people who are Hall of Famers?
Here is Moore. Good ball fake. Cuts between two. Make it a third. And scoops it in with the left hand. Wizardry from Maya Moore.
So this is the same question that people ask my boss, Brad Lane. They're like, Brad, how do you, you know, when you're just surrounded by excellence, when you're surrounded by people like Dan Cook, future radio Hall of Famers, DeRussia, who will probably create his own Hall of Fame if he doesn't get into the Minnesota. So Cheryl Reeve is who The Athletic talked to. And it was a really interesting story because, you know, look at Cheryl Reeve. Simone Augustus, Sylvia Fowles, Maya Moore, Lindsay Whalen, Nafisa Collier will likely be a Hall of Famer. And that include the Olympic team that she coached, all those Hall of Famers. She said the key is holding them accountable to standards even beyond their wildest imagination for their own abilities. Great players want to be coached, and great players never think they're good enough. But she did note that over the years, players want to be talked to in a different way than it used to be. She could be a little tougher. Now she is trying to figure out how to use her words in a way that is more effective. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines on this Friday afternoon. The Minnesota Twins could use a little bit of coaching help. Maybe Dan Hayes has the answers. as to what has happened to the pitching. We thought that was going to be the strength. Dan Hayes joins us in a minute here on CCU.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.